From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
Deer cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. How can we stand by while this all takes place? We've got to stop this inhuman race.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Every week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about the folks who are killing the planet and the folks who have the detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, and web addresses. So please, go get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information on, because this isn't couch potato radio, it's activist radio. And I urge you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down at the Dragon in the road blockade. And if you do have information, announcements, news, or comments for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact addresses later on in the show. As always, we're going to start off with announcements. The Northern Rocky Mountain Law Conference is October 30th and 31st. American Wildlands will host a conference entitled Intersections, Water Quality, Water Quantity, and Native Species. Activists and attorneys will work to provide additional tools under federal and state laws for protection and restoration of the biological diversity of the Northern Rockies watersheds. Contact Judy Brauer for registration information. Her phone number is 406-586-8175. That's Judy at 406-586-8175. Or you can send her email at jbrawer@wildlands.org. That's JBRAWER at wildlands.org. And the Wildlife Society is sponsoring a conference on the ecology and management of dead wood in western forests, November 2nd through the 4th in Reno, Nevada. Dead trees are critical elements of healthy forests. Snags and logs contribute to forests by mediating soil recruitment and loss, affecting water retention and movement, releasing minerals and nutrients for plants living nearby, and providing habitat for a myriad of species, including fungi, arthropods, vertebrates, and bathrobe spears broads. Historically, snag relationships with cavity nesting species have been the basis of deadwood research and management. More recently, the role of wood in aquatic systems has become an important focus. How these and other factors affect forest management, including timber harvest and fire suppression, will be the focus of the conference. For registration information, contact William Hull at area code 510-465-4962. That's William at 510-465-4962. Or send him email at whull@cgbd.org. That's whull@cgbd.org. And the wilderness, can it be wild? November 6th, the High Uintas Preservation Council, Wilderness Watch, Save Our Canyons, and other organizations from Utah are sponsoring this conference at the University of Utah Alumni House in Salt Lake City. The conference will focus on the High Uintas and will be oriented toward a broad discussion of the value of large wilderness, connected systems, and the need to establish native wildlife populations, particularly large carnivores. Please call HUPC for more information. Their number 435-245-6747. That's HUPC for the Can Wilderness Be Wild Conference, November 6th, 435-245-6747. And the Grassroots Climate Education Project. They're having a get-together December 3rd through 5th. The Greenhouse Network, a nonprofit group dedicated to public education about the dangers of global warming, is seeking individuals from across the United States who wish to participate in the Grassroots Climate Education Project. Training session will be held the weekend of December 3rd through 5th in Portland, Oregon, for about 25 people. And then you'll go out into the world and talk about global warming issues. You must apply for a training session by September 15th. Hey, that's a little gone, folks, but hell, give them a call. They might still have an open space. Call EBAN, E-B-A-N. Excuse me, it's an email address, eban@lclark.edu, eban@lclark.edu. Hey, we might have to retire that announcement here. And in genetic foods, the Food and Drug Administration will hold a series of public meetings this fall to address concerns about bioengineered foods. The meetings are part of a new initiative to gather public input on FDA policies regarding modified foods. At the public meetings, the public will be informed about current FDA policy for assuring the safety of bioengineered foods and asked whether this policy should be modified. Of course it should. The FDA is also interested in finding new ways to provide information to the public about bioengineered products in U.S. foods. Public meetings will be held November 18th in Chicago, Illinois, from 9 to 6 p.m. at the One Prudential Plaza. That's November 18th in Chicago from 9 to 6 at the One Prudential Plaza. November 30th in Washington, D.C. from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Grand Hyatt in Washington. That's November 30th, Washington, D.C., 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Grand Hyatt in Washington. And December 13th in Oakland, California from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Elihu Harris State Office Building. Once again, in Oakland, December 13th from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Elihu Harris State Office Building. Public information on bioengineered foods. Looking for a job in the environmental movement? Well, the Grassroots Environmental Education Network, what is that? Gosh, I can't. Anyway, it's called Green, and they're looking for a new director because their old director apparently moving on to other things. Here's some qualifications. Minimum 3 years experience with legislative and advocacy campaigns and public outreach and a strong knowledge of grassroots organizing. Previous experience in directing a grassroots organizing field operation. Excellent organizational skills. You better do a lot of organizing here. Proven ability to be flexible in undertaking multiple tasks and attention to detail. Familiarity with a variety of computer systems and a commitment to a conservation of biodiversity. You'll be working with the director to provide strategic implementation of green campaigns. That's the Grassroots Environmental Effectiveness Network. There is a project of the Defenders of Wildlife. If you want more information, contact the Grassroots Coordinator Search, care of Roger Featherstone Green. Here's the address, P.O. Box 40046, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87196. Once again, the Grassroots Coordinator Search, care of Roger Featherstone Green, P.O. Box 40046, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87196. All right, here. The new National Forest Protection video is out. Green Fire Productions has released the grassroots organizing video, Ancient Forest, the Power of Place, in order to build support for forest protection. Hey, we might have to show this one on video night here. The video provides viewers with the history of our national forests and suggestions on how they can get involved in conservation. Contact Green Fire. Their phone number, 503-736-1295. That's 503-736-1925. Or you can send email to info@greenmedia.org. That's info@greenmedia.org for more information about their new video, Ancient Forest, the Power of Place. And the Parks Network is telling us about trespassing cows in Sequoia National Park. These cows belong to Anheuser-Busch, makers of Budweiser beer, Eagle Brand snacks, and other products. The Anheuser-Busch herd has been allowed to graze up to 900 cow-calf pairs in the Golden Trout Wilderness. Boo hiss to that one. Next to Sequoia National Park. Here's the good part. Their permit with the U.S. Forest Service is up for renewal, and the original deadline for comments has been extended to November 30th, 1999. Cows are bad news in the wilderness, and they're even worse news in national parks. So, Uncle Dennis recommends you send the National Forest Supervisor a letter telling him that you don't want cows in the Inyo National Forest Templeton and Whitney grazing allotments. That's the Templeton and Whitney grazing allotments should be cow-free for at least 10 years. This proposal has been put forward by Cal Trout, who's asking for your help. Here's the address, Jeff Bailey, Forest Supervisor. Inyo National Forest, 873 North Main Street, Bishop, California, 93514. Once again, that's Jeff Bailey, Forest Supervisor of the Inyo National Forest, 873 North Main Street in Bishop, California, 93514. And if you'd like more information about Cal Trout and what's going on, set your web browser to www.caltrout.org/alert/golden.htm. That's www.caltrout.org/alert/golden.htm. In action news, the Animal Liberation Front has claimed responsibility for two raids on Indiana fur fox farms this week. ALF's October 1 communique states the 30 fox at the Montpelier farm had their coats dyed with a harmless dye called red henna, rendering them worthless to the fur farmer, and also breeding cards were taken, causing further economic loss. The Animal Liberation Front states that they will return to the farm if the farmer does not end his cruelty. All right. And Maine hunting clubs have been targeted by the Animal Liberation Front. They claim responsibility for attacks carried out against three hunting clubs in Maine. These involve retrieving stuffed dead animals and returning them to the wilderness to rest in peace. The communique refutes police reports of stolen money from the Phillipsburg Club and proclaims the group's code of nonviolence, citing 20 years of ALF activities in North America without a single injury or death. And in other action news, loggers and environmentalists began a blockade of the Maine-Canada border a couple of days ago at 4:45 in the morning, 50 miles southwest of Allegash, Maine. A banner stretched across the entrance to the border crossing read, "Why won't Governor King protect our forests, our jobs, and our communities?" The protest is in response to the increasing abuse and export of Maine's forests by multinational timber corporations and subsequent disruption of local communities through rampant unemployment in the logging sector. Multinationals from Canada, with the sanction of the Maine government, have been sending loggers into the state at rates of pay under the state's legal standards to clear-cut Maine's forests for shipment back into Canada. "We're here blockading the border for the same reason we did that this time last year," stated logger Hilton Hafford. "Canadian labor is taking all of our jobs, and our logs are going to Canada. This is the same thing the politicians told us they'd fix last year. But I guess their fix is just let it continue as is," Hafford said. This year, the loggers have found allies in the Native Forest Network and International Forest Protection Group. "The loggers contacted us asking for help," said Jim Freeman of the Gulf of Maine Native Forest Networks. All right, in other action news, coming up is a day of action to save old-growth forests, October 26th. Home Depot, the behemoth of the U.S. home improvement industry, has publicly committed to phasing out wood from endangered areas. Lowe's Companies has signed a corporate letter of intent to phase out old-growth wood. "We now have a historic opportunity to convince the entire retail wood industry to go old-growth free. By Home Depot's own estimates, the store sells 10% of the world's wood products and controls 40% of the U.S. home improvement industry. If we get the rest of the industry to meet or beat Home Depot's plan of action, then we are in position to make more than 20% of the world's timber sales old-growth free." Included in this day of action is Home Base. These are stores on the Pacific Coast. Menards Incorporated in Wisconsin, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Nebraska, Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, and Michigan. Payless Cashways, and these stores are in the Four Corners State, in the Great Plains into the Four Corners State. So don't buy old growth at the Payless Cashways, Inc. The Wicks Incorporated, these folks are in Maine, New Hampshire, and Vermont. 84 Lumber on the Eastern Seaboard west of Colorado. And once again, that's the International Day of Action for Old Growth Forests. Visit one of those stores and tell them, go old growth free and do it today. On February 27, 1999, in the final days before the Headwaters deal was completed, Soma and War Cry hung a banner from the Tower Bridge in Sacramento that read, "Governor Davis, stop the Headwaters scam. No HCP, no deal." For the last few weeks, Soma, War Cry, and their supporters have been holding out in a Sacramento court system to get their charges reduced or dropped. On the ninth day, a deal was struck, much better than what was originally proposed by the district attorney, and certainly stronger than if convicted by a jury trial. Still, deals suck, especially in the judicial system that for all practical purposes does not recognize nonviolent acts of consciousness and the necessity in standing up for what's right. A fair trial just wasn't a reality. And here is the final communique from War Cry. Soma and I are on probation now. I feel like shit about it. I wanted to go on trial so we could discuss the Headwaters deal from hell. First, they stripped away our freedom of speech by not permitting the necessity defense so that we can't explain why we did what we did. It's as if clear cuts and erosion and all the other degradation and insanity of industrial forestry are excluded from being entered into evidence to be considered by the people of California who are presumably pressing these charges. The judge didn't fail to remind us of that potential if we were to take our case to trial. And I'm going to edit this just a little bit here. So much for the concept of your day in court. Let's see here. The machine is ugly and ruthless. They sent in a SWAT team to remove us nonviolent protesters. Overkill is one good word for the description of the United States government. It gets uglier and uglier. I write this as I signed Mumia's death warrant last night. And this goes on for quite a while here. But basically, Warcry and Soma are out on probation, which is a good deal. But the killing of the woods and the forests and the streams goes on. And here we move into the big news. President Clinton last week directed the Forest Service to initiate a formal rulemaking process to protect the remaining national forest roadless areas. Quoting President Clinton, "Today we launch one of the largest land preservation efforts in America's history to protect these priceless backcountry lands," said the president. "At stake are 60 million acres of wildlands that continue to be threatened by logging, grazing, mining, and off-road vehicles. The administration is considering a range of protection options. The weakest proposed option would protect 40 million acres of inventoried roadless areas, 5,000 acres or larger from road building, but would exclude the Tongass National Forest in Alaska. The strongest option protects all 60 million acres from logging and road building and includes the Tongass and provides management direction to limit other destructive activities such as grazing and off-road vehicles." There's a lot of questions that remain. But anyway, if you'd like to submit comments to the U.S. Department of Agriculture concerning this roadless area proposal, here is the address. USDA Forest Service, CAET. Attention, Roadless Areas, NOI. P.O. Box 221090, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84122. That address again, USDA Forest Service, CAET. Attention, Roadless Areas, NOI. P.O. Box 221090, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84122. They also have an email address, roadlessareasnoi, all one word, roadlessareasnoi/wo_caet@fs.fed.gov. Once again, roadlessareasnoi/wo_caet@fs.fed.gov. And we've got a list of the primary roadless areas that will be affected by the president's executive order. Alabama, 50,000 acres. Alaska, 15 million acres. Arizona, 1.8 million acres. Arkansas, 165,000 acres. California, 4.2 million acres. Colorado, 5.5 million acres. Florida, 82,000 acres. Georgia, 174,000 acres. Idaho, 9.5 million acres. Illinois, 49,000 acres. Indiana, 7,000 acres. Kentucky, 6. Louisiana, 8. Michigan, 168,000. Minnesota, 79,000. Mississippi, 12,000 acres. Missouri, 104,000 acres. Montana, 6 million acres. Nebraska, almost 49,000 acres. Nevada, 3.1 million acres. New Hampshire, 337,000 acres. New Mexico, 2.6 million acres. North Carolina, 140,000 acres. Ohio, 18,000 acres. Oregon, 2.1 million acres. Pennsylvania, 31,000 acres. Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, currently being bashed by a hurricane, 18,000 acres. South Carolina, 32,000. South Dakota, 49,000. Tennessee, 100,000. Texas, 99,000 acres. Utah, 3.7 million acres. Vermont, 35,000 acres. Virginia, 365,000 acres. Washington State, 1.9 million acres. West Virginia, 223,000 acres, Wisconsin 74,000 acres, Wyoming 2,600,000 acres. This is no small potatoes, folks, so get those comments in to the U.S. Forest Service. All right, here's some population news. The Sierra Club, the nation's leading environmental organization, adopted advocacy of a reduction in human population in the United States and the world. Hey, this is a big decision. The decision by the club's board of directors recognized the club's 1970 position to stabilize populations was no longer adequate in the face of dire environmental consequences of overpopulation, as Earth's population rockets past 6 billion. If you want more information, contact Christopher Connor of Negative Population Growth. His number, 202-667-8950. That's 202-667-8950. And in climate news, researchers have found evidence that rising global sea levels are killing coastal trees in Florida. But in a study published in the journal Ecology, a team of University of Florida and U.S. Geological Survey scientists conclude that cabbage palms and many other coastal trees are falling victim to saltwater exposure. Sea levels worldwide are rising an average of 1.5 millimeters each year. That seems like a small amount, but after 10 years, that's 15 millimeters. Well, we're getting up toward an inch every 10 years. Small increases in sea level can affect large areas of Florida's flat coastline, in part because development and farm keep forests from growing on higher ground further inland, researchers say. What this does for me is bring home the global problem of sea level rise, said Francis Putz, a University of Florida professor working on the project. The research team started the project 7 years ago, creating test plots of forested lands at different elevations. Let's get into a little animal news here. Responding to a petition by the Center for Biological Diversity, the National Marine Fisheries Service has taken an initial step towards listing the white abalone as the first endangered marine invertebrate. On September 25th, it issued a 90-day finding on the center's position. Producing up to 10 million eggs per individual, white abalone were once extremely common on the California coast. It has declined by 99.9% in the last 30 years. As few as 600 white abalone may exist today, and no successful reproduction has been recorded since 1966, making all the remaining abalone very old. They can live to 35 to 40 years, however. And scientists working on how to breed white abalone in captivity, a process that may be the species' only chance of survival. The white abalone fishery was closed in 1996, and in 1997, the National Marine Fisheries Service proposed listing the abalone, as we just read in the previous article. But this month, a group of university, government, and private biologists in a two-person submersible began to cruise the ocean floor in search of the rare marine snail. In all, the team will make over 50 dives. They are trying to find and collect new white abalone specimens to study the species' fertility cycle and learn how to breed new juveniles. Recent underwater surveys have found a mere 12 individual white abalone. Bad news. Bad, bad news. And the Center for Biological Diversity and a Coalition of Environmental and Fishing Groups has settled a lawsuit over the refusal of the National Marine Fisheries Service to issue regulations banning the harming and killing of steelhead trout in California's Central Valley, Central Coast, and South Central Coast. Under the terms of the settlement, the National Marine Fisheries Service will issue proposed regulations banning any take by December 15, 1999, and they will make a final rule by June 19th of next year. California's steelhead populations were listed under the Endangered Species Act in August of 1997 and March of 1998. Dams, water diversions, logging, grazing, and gravel mining have reduced their numbers from millions in the Central Valley, South, and South Central Coast to about 150,000 by the late 1960s. Currently, less than 20,000 fish exist. And the Center for Biological Diversity, in their usual plethora of announcements, is telling us that they and a coalition of six environmental groups have filed a petition to list the Cook Inlet beluga whale as an endangered species under Alaskan state law. Once numbering over 1,000 animals, the population has dropped to fewer than 300 in recent years. Though causes of the decline are not fully known, hunting entanglement in fishing nets, toxic and offshore oil development are all taking their toll. Since offshore oil development in the Cook Inlet is largely state-managed, listing under the State Endangered Species Act could have a large impact on future oil development in the inlet. And for just 3 months after the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service designated 731,000 acres of critical habitat for the endangered Cactus ferruginous pygmy owl, a federal judge has issued a sweeping injunction against virtually all building permits in Arizona. On October 8th, Judge Alfredo Marquez barred the Army Corps of Engineers from issuing nationwide permits under the Clean Water Act until the agency completes an environmental review of all development permits in Arizona and until it consults with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. All right. Over the cumulative impacts of the development to the pygmy owl and its critical habitat. Most large-scale development, construction, and river projects require a Clean Water Act permit because of their effects on wetlands, washes, rivers, and headwaters, and rather than obtain individual permits, however, most developers seek to qualify for automatic approval under nationwide permits. Under the order, the Army Corps is not permitted to issue any permits for bank stabilization, road crossings, or impacts to headwaters and isolated waters until it systematically reviews the cumulative impacts of all its permits on the natural and human environment. The Army Corps has interpreted that decision to apply to all of Arizona. Such a review will likely take 18 to 24 months. Well, that's good news. Construction shut down in Arizona? It's almost unbelievable. Well, Earth First Radio is going to be back after a little musical break here. We're going to have a special guest in the studio. We have Redwood Mary, and up a tree in Northern California, we have Julia Butterfly, so... stand by. We'll have all that coming up right after this musical interlude.
Remember me when you are walking. Remember me when you are talking. Remember me when you are driving in your car. Remember me, I am the source of all you are. Remember me when you are walking down the street. Remember me, I am the ground beneath your feet. Remember me when you are sleeping. Remember me when you are dreaming. Remember me when you are lonely. Remember me, I am the only. Remember me when you are walking down the street. Remember me, I am the ground beneath your feet. Remember me now. Remember me, 'cause I need you now. Remember me when I begot you. Remember me, I never forgot you. Remember me, I am the ground beneath your feet. Remember me, I am the source of all you eat. Remember me, I am the giver of all life. Remember me, I am the one who wields the knife. Remember me now. Remember me now. Remember me now. Remember me now.
And Earth First Radio will be right back. Stay tuned.